Welcome to Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast. The president's supporters and Obamacare champions were certainly embarrassed when a recording of White House advisor Jonathan Gruber was made public, admitting that lack of transparency and mislabeling programs and what he called the stupidity of the American people were all critical to Obamacare's passage. Well, they were embarrassed because they got caught, but they should have been ashamed of what they've done. We have had no less now than an admission that this latest big government scheme represents the clever and the sophisticated preying on the trusting and the naive. It's very clever, he said, Gruber that is, basic exploitation of the lack of economic knowledge of the American voter. So that's some opportunistic government we have here, Dr. Paul, but one of the real ironies is that 5 years ago in his big Obamacare speech, the president said, and this is verbatim, if you misrepresent what's in the plan, we will call you out.
Boy, that is pretty strong. You know, what this made me think of when this story broke was the prohibition of citizens to lie to the government. That's probably one of the most vicious crimes, especially when a government is authoritarian. You don't dare fib, lie, or distort the government, or they come down hard on you. Why has it been accepted for so long that governments can lie to us? I mean, this is not like the first time they ever lied to us, but it's the first time it's gotten full exposure like this. So I think it's delightful that we have this issue, because when I was in Washington, and I thought I saw this routinely, I had one individual that I was sitting next to, and we had a vote on something that we were interfering in the personal lives of individuals. And I said, why are you doing this? You know better. And he really did know better. He said, yeah, but the people are too stupid. And I thought, isn't that interesting? He actually used that word to me. And this is the word that the Obama administration was using, that the people are stupid. We should take advantage of it. We have to take care of them. They are the elites. And that is a feeling that is strongly felt in Washington. And it helps explain a lot of what they do. The big problem there, let's say that in ideal world, maybe the people aren't quite smart enough to deal with all their problems, and there's a few that think they can. But where do they get their wisdom? They're taking the dumbest people and putting them in government. So how can they expect better results other than the fact that it affects all of us rather than just ourselves? If we don't do the right thing for ourselves, it hurts us. There's no doubt about it. But I would say the damage done when we have individuals like this running the government, we're really in trouble. One of the fascinating things I found about this was the handling of the tax. And they admitted, and the truth comes out now, that they knew exactly what they were doing. They could not call it a tax. The people would rebel. So we'll call it a tax on the policy of the insurance company. And therefore, it wouldn't be a tax. And the CBO would rule it a certain way. It would make it a lot easier. And that was in their strategy. But they knew darn well it was a tax. So it was appeal, you know, it was taken to the court. So in the court, the administration changed their tune, because although they got it passed by the Congress by not calling a tax, when it goes to the court, they know that it better be called a tax, or for some weird reason, our judicial system say, well, if it's a tax, it's constitutional. But if it isn't a tax, it's not. The whole process was unconstitutional. So they reverse and they argue the case with the courts. So the court decides, you know, that it is a tax. But this shows you how extreme it is on how these individuals work. But, you know, the big issue here is lying goes on constantly. I've wondered what it would be like if we had a society where candidates and office holders, if they lied, they have to, they're under oath. Put them all under oath. Of course, I'm being facetious, but can you imagine how different the world would be? They'd probably pack the courts or something else, but they feel free to lie endlessly. But, you know, this may be hard for some people to take, because this is so extreme and it's in the news and Republicans are loving it. But this is a minor lie, as far as I'm concerned, compared to lying us into war. And all the people in Washington who are yelling and screaming the most about this horrible, horrible lie, which it is, are the ones who perpetuate the lies to get us into wars. And just think of the yes, there's a lot of damage done with Obamacare, people are you know, get hit financially, their medical care quality goes down. All those problems are real. But what happens when the government lies and the people believe them and they go along with the war propaganda, and we go into countries like Vietnam and into Korea, into the Middle East, into Iraq and Afghanistan, into Syria, and thousands of Americans die, thousands if not hundreds of thousands get wounded and injured, and hundreds of thousands of people of the countries that we invade get killed, and then we wonder why there's an incentive for those who live in those lands to be radicalized, to do whatever they can to expel us from that territory. And when you compare the lies, let me tell you on which side I come down. They're lying is lying, and it should be immoral. But some lies cause a lot more damage. So, yes, we ought to get the government to quit lying, especially on this economic legislation or the economic statistics and all the things they do and what the Fed does. Those are all lies that should be stopped. But we should not be so naive as to believe those are the only lies, and it's a partisan thing. It's lying is bipartisan, and they certainly have lied us into war way too many times.
In fact, the political philosopher, sort of the intellectual godfather of many of the neocons, the people who lied this country into the Iraq War, said clearly without any shame, Dr. Paul, and I'm thinking specifically of Professor Leo Strauss, that it was the job of the enlightened people such as themselves to deceive the people with what he called noble lies and pious frauds.
Yeah, I think the noble lie concept's been around a long time, and they believe that, and that to them makes it moral because they are doing good. It's part of this American exceptionalism that we have a duty to spread our wisdom and our knowledge around the world and make the world safe for democracy. So yes, they believe that. The Jacobins did this in the French Revolution. You know, they started off with high motivation, and they were trying to copy the American Revolution and have a society with more freedom. And look at what that turned into, because yes, they had good ideals, but they also turned into saying, well, if you don't agree with us, we'll use the guillotine. And it seems rather foolish on accepting those principles.
Well, the current episode with Jonathan Gruber reminded me more than anything of Harry Hopkins in the New Deal. Tax and tax, spend and spend, elect and elect. The people are too damn dumb to know the difference. But you know, Dr. Paul, the one difference this time from, for example, the lies of the 30s or subsequent ones is that this is the age of the internet and YouTube. And so the president's people can fall all over themselves denying that they know this guy or that he had any role in the administration or in the construction of Obamacare. But it didn't take long for all the evidence and the YouTubes and how much money was involved, how much he was paid, for all of that to start coming out.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I've argued that technology now is ushering in a new age where in the past, all technology for hundreds of years has all been used to figure out how to kill more people. I'm hoping that individuals and small groups can get used to technology to be used, for peaceful purposes. And there's a good chance of this. I was trying to describe the other day on what could be done to maybe soften the riots that may come break out in Ferguson. Of course, restraint is the big thing, the restraint of a militarized police and restraint of hoodlums who would tear down buildings and steal from innocent people. And I suggested that a few people stay out of town, the likes of Jackson and others, just to stay out instead of stirring the pot. But the other thing that I suggested is that maybe people ought to actually own a weapon, for self-defense if we can't depend on them. And the last thing I suggested, everybody, if that doesn't solve it, which it won't, everybody ought to take a camera, and the police ought to be compelled to have cameras on every one of their vests so that we know exactly what's going on. I think that would build in a lot of restraint. The police, if we arm them with cameras, that would help. Of course, the ones who would like to use an excuse to tear up the town, that means somebody else is going to have to be around making cameras. And I think this is what part of the point you're making about the internet. People can't quite get away with what they've gotten away with now. They can lie and fib, but they never knew they would be caught. This is a good lesson. But it's also, to me, it should be very encouraging, because a lot more people now will be questioning government. And it's already, our government's at low ebb, you know, as far as support goes, whether it's the House or the Senate, the Republican, the Democrat, the executive branch. So I think this will further, extend this skepticism of government. And I think that is good. We have to get people to really question this authoritarianism of government. But, you know, as always, I'm hoping this will translate, well, maybe they're not telling us the truth about ISIS. Maybe ISIS will not be on our doorstep next. Maybe there's a reason for ISIS. And that's what I would like to see, more questioning done on other issues as well.
Well, let's finish by talking about Obamacare proper for a moment. Robert Wenzel did us a favor the other day. He called his readers' attention to Paul Krugman actually saying something that was correct for a change in a column when he pointed out the other day that Obamacare is, in all important respects, is identical to Romney Care.
Oh, my goodness. You mean our suspicions were right all along, huh? And then and he was going to be the alternative. And who knows? You know, there's a bunch out there right now not looking for an independent-minded Republican. And they're looking, how are we going to do this? We need another Bush, or we need a Romney. And Republicans, unfortunately, are capable of even trying Romney again, even with all this Obamacare stuff. That is why I hope our technology is moving along, and I hope the truth gets out and the people wise up. I mean, otherwise, I'll become pessimistic, and I want to remain optimistic.
Well, we're always optimistic in this corner. Thank you, Dr. Paul, for another informative conversation. Don't forget that you can hear Dr. Paul's perspective and his comments regularly, that you can subscribe to our weekly podcast on iTunes. I'm Charles Guillen.